Once he can read, I think maybe we'll get him up here. All right, we're going to take our offering. If you have prayer requests, connection cards, we invite you to drop them in the offering baskets as they go by, as well as we believe in generosity, and we live through generosity, and so the gifts, the financial gifts that you guys give to our church is used to invest in our community and live out our mission. So thank you for giving to the Lord and for giving to the church. All right, well, did everyone have a pretty good Thanksgiving? Good? How many of you are still eating leftovers? A few of you? All right. We actually hosted, this was the first time, in our home in Delano, and it was a lot of fun, a bit chaotic, and we sort of underestimated what it would be like to have a six-month-old with like 15 people in the house and the amount of stimulation that that creates, and thus results in a very crabby child. And yet it was worth it, and it was a lot of fun, and we had a good time. And yet it reminded me of this time of year and how chaotic this time of year can be and how crazy things can get with the amount of parties, with the amount of, you know, the shopping that we do, the Hallmark Christmas movies. We have so many taped on our DVR right now, it's unbelievable. Not because of me. But putting up Christmas lights, sending out Christmas cards. I mean, the list goes on and on and on. And we can get overwhelmed with all of the tradition that happens this time of year and lose sight of what it is this time of year means and what it represents. So this year, when we were thinking about as pastors what we wanted to teach on as we looked at the story of Jesus, we came up with a pretty simple idea. And the series that we're going to do is called The Characters of Christmas. And it's simple because what we're going to do is we're going to look at who are the characters of this story. The story of Jesus' birth. And I think it's important to note that Jesus is the star. You know, if it's a movie, a story, a book, whatever, Jesus is the main character. And yet there's all these supporting characters that we read about when we read about the birth of Jesus that played an important role in the story. And what we're going to do is we're going to look at these supporting characters. And we're going to look at how is it that the breaking in of Jesus into a broken world, the birth of the Messiah King, how is it that they responded to Christ's birth? And what can we learn as Christians from their response? What are the things that we can learn when we look at these characters and how Jesus radically transformed their life? And this morning, the first character that we're going to look at is Jesus' mother, Mary. One of the things that sticks out to me about Mary and her story is how inconvenient it likely was for her to get pregnant by the Holy Spirit and have a baby. Because here is a young woman, a very young woman, likely anywhere from 13 to 17 years old. And we know that because the Bible tells us that she has been pledged to marry this man named Joseph. And at this time, culturally, you got married a lot younger than the average age that people are getting married today. You got married anywhere from 13 to 17, 18 years old. And so it's likely that Mary is, she could be as young as 13, she could be as old as 17. Regardless, she's young. She's immature, we would assume. She's a teenager. She's growing up and she's engaged. She's not yet married, but she's pledged to be married. And you sort of go, okay, what is a teenage girl who's engaged, what is her life likely like? Exciting. I mean, imagine the conversations that she's having with family and friends. She's doing what she's likely doing what women do when they're engaged today. Planning, figuring out the guest list, planning all the details, dreaming about what it's going to be like to be married, to have a family. Now, traditionally, when you got engaged or pledged to be married, what happened socially is you lived with your parents. So Joseph and Mary would have been living with their parents. And usually the amount of time that a young couple was engaged was about 6 months. And in that 6 months, they'd be living with their parents and they'd be planning a wedding feast. And so that's precisely where Mary finds herself. She's in the midst of preparing for a wedding. The conversations that she's having with her friends are like, you know, what should I wear? And who should, you know, what should all these, the details, what should we eat? You know, all the things that a young woman is excited about when it comes to her wedding day. And yet, God is about to break in a crazy, impossible way and inconvenience this young teenage woman in a way that she could have never imagined. Let me read for you the story in the book of Luke. This is Luke chapter 1, starting in verse 26. It says this: in the sixth month of Elizabeth's pregnancy, God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth, a town in Galilee, to a virgin pledged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of David. The virgin's name was Mary. The angel went to her and said, "Greetings, you who are highly favored, the Lord is with you." Mary was greatly troubled at his words and wondered what kind of greeting this might be. But the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary. You have found favor with God. You will conceive and give birth to a son, and you are to call him Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over Jacob's descendants forever. His kingdom will never end." "How will this be?" Mary asked the angel, "since I'm a virgin." The angel answered, "The Holy Spirit will come on you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God. Even Elizabeth, your relative, is going to have a child in her old age. And she who is said to be unable to conceive is in her sixth month. For no word from God will ever fail." "I am the Lord's servant," Mary answered. May your words to me be fulfilled." Then the angel left her. Now, we read this, and if you've been a Christian, you've probably read this many times. And I think it dangerously can become sort of old hat. It's just the Christmas story. And here's this angel coming to Mary and saying, "You're going to give birth to this child." And it all sounds perfectly good, perfectly easy, and convenient. It sounds like a good story. And yet, I think we can easily read through this and not keep in mind, what is at stake here? What is it like for a teenage girl? I mean, how many of you have teenage girls? Think about your daughters all of a sudden coming to you and saying, "An angel appeared to me and now I'm pregnant." How many conversations does this poor young woman, Mary, have to have where people are doubting what it is she's saying? How many people actually believed her? I mean, imagine the conversation she has to have with her husband. I mean, what is at stake here? We sort of brush by when we read this story. Everything is at stake for this young woman. Because social norms, this was dangerous. Mary could lose her life because once she could only conceal her pregnancy for so long before people were going to physically be able to tell that she's pregnant. And people would have assumed, you know, that her and Joseph had sex. And to have premarital sex at this point in this culture meant if the husband wanted to prosecute, he could have her stoned. It was such a disgrace to the man, to the future husband, to the family. It was such a disgrace that you could literally choose to have this person, this woman stoned. I mean, so what is at stake? Her life. If she says yes to the angel, if she says yes to God, she's literally saying, it could mean my life. Now, remember, she's this young woman, she's in love. What else is at stake? Her marriage. I mean, if you've ever experienced heartache, a broken heart, it's some of the worst pain that we can feel when we're in love and someone betrays us or someone dumps us. It's some of the worst pain and emotion that we can feel. And now this is what's at stake for her. Because she's going to have to go tell Joseph that she's pregnant. What do you think he's going to assume? She had sex with somebody else. And she has to tell this crazy story that the Holy Spirit impregnated her. I don't think, and Joseph, we know, because later on it says that he decided, and we're going to talk about Joseph next week, so I don't want to talk too much about him. But he decided not to shame her. He basically decided, I'm not going to put her up for public scrutiny or have her killed, but I will divorce her quietly. We can assume that he did not believe her. Right? She has to go have this conversation with him. She says, look, I'm pregnant. But here's the thing. I'm still a virgin. The Holy Spirit impregnated me. The Gabriel, an angel, came to me and said that the Messiah is going to be born through me, you know? Like, how? What we know is Joseph goes, I mean, wouldn't you have loved to hear that conversation? Now, who knows what he said, but we do know that he walked away from that conversation and likely didn't believe her because he decides to divorce her quietly. So her life is on the line. Her marriage and heartbreak and loss is on the line. Losing her family, bringing shame to her family, being alienated, all of it is on the line. And yet, what we know about her is that she loves God. In verse 28, the angel says to Mary, greetings, you who are highly favored. The Lord is with you. God, when he looked at Mary, it says that he had favor on her. There is something special about this young woman. We can, I think, safely assume that she loves God. That she's a follower of God. And is trying to live a life obedient to God. That God has found favor on her and therefore has chosen to use her in this remarkable way. And yet, it's incredibly inconvenient. And I think, well, pause for a second, and we have to recognize that in our life, when we're following God with our heart and we love him and we're doing our best to live for him, he's still going to come and he's still going to show up in our lives and ask us to do things that are inconvenient. He's going to call us into seasons of life that we don't want to be in. He's going to ask us to do things that we don't want to experience. He's going to ask us to treat people counter to the way, the way that we feel. He's going to challenge us to love differently. He's going to challenge us to trust him when none of what we see makes any sense. He's going to challenge us to give up more and more and more. He's going to challenge us to give up, our safety. The things that we cling to that make us feel safe, the things that we cling to that make us feel good, there will be times where he comes in and says, give that up. What we see is that God, to follow Jesus with all of our being and all of our heart, is going to require us to say yes when it's inconvenient. And this is what we see Mary do. When all of the things that are at stake, her life, her, her reputation, forever, you guys, she's only 13 maybe, for the rest of her life, you don't think that people doubted, her story? I mean, there was a shadow over Mary for her entire life. Her reputation, her marriage, her life, all of it was at stake. And it, in a moment, changed. In a moment, she's talking about her wedding and her life and all the things that she has to look forward to. And in a moment when that angel stands before her and says, look, God has found favor in you. And he's asking you, will you be a part of the impossible? Now, he doesn't say it this way, but to say yes to the impossible is to have people doubt you, have people shame you, to have a cloud of suspicion over you. And the thing that I love, and it's really important to note, is that Mary, she's not some deity. She's not someone to be worshipped as a god. She's very, very human. And we pick up on that because of how she responds. First of all, it says she's greatly troubled. And whenever an angel appears in the Bible to human beings, people usually freak out. And she's troubled. And she's afraid. And it doesn't say she's afraid, but the angel says, don't be afraid. So he must see that she's afraid. If she's some deity, if she's some sort of god, and she's standing, in the presence of an angel, if she's supernatural, she's not going to be afraid. She's not going to respond the way that she responds. She's a scared teenage girl. And the angel has to reassure her, you don't have to be afraid. And then he goes on, and he says this. She's greatly troubled by the words that this angel is saying to her. And the angel says, do not be afraid. You have found favor with God. And then he goes into this proclamation of who, like the mission, the yes that Mary is being asked to say. He says, you're going to conceive and give birth to a son. You're going to call him Jesus. He will be great, and he will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over Jacob's descendants forever. His kingdom will never end. I mean, he basically says, look, you're going to give birth to royalty. He's going to sit on a throne forever. His kingdom will never die. He's a big deal. And she doesn't go, awesome. This is amazing. She responds with the most practical question. How will this be since I'm a virgin? It's the question that I'm guessing every single woman in here would probably ask. The most practical question. Even though an angel is standing before her and says, you're going to give birth to royalty, to the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, whose throne will never end. In her just humanness, her age. She just says, the math doesn't make sense. She's being real. I love that. She's just being real. There's doubt in Mary. How can this be? This isn't how the world works. Usually something has to happen before someone gets pregnant. You know, like how can this work? So what we see is we see a woman who's troubled. She's anxious. She's scared. And she's asking fundamental questions because she doesn't understand and she likely has doubt. She is not a god. There's nothing supernatural about Mary. She has the same emotions that a lot of us have when we don't understand what God is doing or what where we are in the life, you know, that God is allowing to happen in our life. And yet what is remarkable is that even in the midst of everything that is at stake, her life, her marriage, her reputation, even though she has doubt and she feels anxious and she doesn't know how all this is going to work out, she doesn't know the future. Her future has been blown up. The future that she planned, the future that she believed would be her future, it's gone. It's gone if she says yes. And what does she say? Mary might be, dare I say, the first Christian. She's the first one to say yes to Jesus. She says in verse 38, and it's profound, I'm the Lord's servant. May your words to me be fulfilled. Then the angel, that's all the angel had to hear. Quick yes, and let's do this. We read over that, and we think it's nice, and it's pretty, and the Christmas story is nicely packaged for us. And yet we so easily brush past the power of these words. I'm the Lord's servant. I belong to him. I will serve him regardless of how I feel. I will serve him regardless of how he will blow up my future and my life. Because I trust him regardless of my feelings. I trust him regardless of my doubts. I trust that his plan, his life, the plan that he has for my life is far better than the one that I have. And I don't know how things are going to work out with Joseph. I don't know how my parents are going to receive this. I don't even know if I'm going to live to see this all happen. But I belong to the Lord. I will serve him with all of my heart and my life. And so may your words be fulfilled. I will do it. She says yes. And it's the most important yes in this Christmas story. Her yes ushers in our Messiah, our King. So when things in our life fall apart, when God calls us into inconvenience, when we can't make sense and doubt and fear and anxiety fills us, you can look at someone like Mary and you can see how simple faith, how powerful, yes, God, I will trust you and I will serve you and I will follow you into the unknown. I will follow you into the impossible. Because here's what we learn from Mary's story is that when we humbly choose to be obedient to where God is calling us, regardless of how we feel, regardless of how safe or unsafe or how convenient or inconvenient it is, when we say yes to God, it's always worth it. Because look at what God invited Mary to be a part of. Look at the impact that her yes has had on our world. So regardless of what's going on in your life, regardless of how inconvenient it is to be a Christian today, have hope that the Christmas story tells us that your obedience to God, regardless of how inconvenient it is, will always be worth it. What does the angel say to her? He goes, God's words will always be true. No word from God will ever fail. His plan will never let you down, will never fail you. What's at risk is when we let emotion and fear and anxiety and inconvenience and safety get in the way and we say no to God. Then we lose out on what God is inviting us into. Two things I'll leave you with. Mary believed God when it seemed to be impossible. She believed him. She chose to believe him. She chose to say yes when the odds were against her. And the second thing she did, which I think is just as profound, is she never looks back. She moves forward. I love what she says. May your words be fulfilled. Let's go. Let's do this. She never looked back. So for us, this Christmas, it might not be that we have to pray and ask God for abundance of faith or more faith in our lives. Maybe this Christmas we need to pray for the courage to exercise the faith that we already have. Maybe we need to ask God to give us the courage to say yes. To put into practice, to put into play even if it's the little amount of faith that we have, to say yes, God. Against all odds, against everything that's at stake, I put my trust and my faith in you. That's what it means when Jesus says, come follow me, pick up your cross and follow me. It's what it means when Jesus tells us that narrow is the gate. Narrow is the road that leads to life. Few people will say yes because of what's at stake and how inconvenient it may be for them. And yet what Jesus says years later is that those who are willing to say yes, those who are willing to live ruthlessly, you know, trust God with their life, we'll find life, we'll find meaning, we'll find hope. Mary was one of the first to show us what happens when we're willing to say yes. Here, a young teenage, maybe 13-year-old girl demonstrates to us how not to let fear and anxiety and doubt overtake us. She models for us how a simple yes can change the trajectory of our lives and change the world. So when you read the Christmas story this year, don't brush past all that's at stake for these characters. Don't brush past all that is at stake for what it means for them to be a part of the Christmas story. Because you will see yourself in them. You will see and feel the emotions that they felt. And yet what we can learn from them and what we learn from Mary is how we can respond. and how wonderful it is when we put our trust and we respond the same way they respond. They responded. Let me pray for us. Let's stand as we pray. God, as we look at this cast of supporting characters in this story, we first give thanks to you, Jesus, for being the main character, for being the one who comes in and saves and redeems and loves us, even in the midst of our sin and our rebellion. I pray, God, that we would see, that we wouldn't brush past the story, this Christmas story. I pray that we'd be able to see all that's at stake, that we'd be able to feel, God, what's at stake, that we would be able to learn from those who were there, that we would be able to learn, how do we respond to you? Not just at Christmas, but how do we respond to you when you call out to us? When life is upside down? When it costs us something or everything? Give us courage to have the words and say the words that Mary said. Let your will be done, not mine, yours. That's what we pray. We pray it in Jesus' name. Amen.